Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Tyreek Hill, the fantastic Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver, is under investigation for alleged battery. Here's the details, Rob. All we know is what we're reading. It's early. But the Kansas City Chiefs have confirmed that he's under investigation for child abuse. And he and his fiance, Crystal Espinal, Crystal Espinal, his fiance, is also listed as others involved.
Wow.
So, and it appears that the story reports that their 3-year-old son has a broken arm. And so he's being investigated, he and his fiance.
You know what usually happens?
For what might be child abuse because their son has a broken arm.
You know what usually happens? When you bring a kid into, like, the doctor or emergency room with a broken arm or something, they automatically investigate or something like that. That's probably what happened. They had to bring him in, and then they go, wait a minute, what happened here? And if the doctor doesn't...
Has that been reported?
I'm just saying, okay. That's normally what happens. I think they bring you in. You know what I mean? Just in case, when kids come in and they're injured. You want to know what happened.
And, of course, Tyreek Hill has a history of domestic violence.
With the fiance.
Because when she was pregnant with this little boy.
They were in college, right, I think, at this time?
He punched her. This was in 2014. She was
2014.
Eight weeks pregnant. And he punched her. So, I guess, is it?
No, it was
this
recently.
Boy? But he punched her in the stomach and choked her. So, you know, then they reconciled and the conviction was dismissed. And it was expunged after he completed his probation requirements. Now, of course, the Kansas City Chiefs earlier this season had the incident with Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt, we've seen on video, kicking a
woman
young lady
while she was down
in the hotel in Cleveland. And soon as they got the details, they cut him.
And don't forget, they did give him the benefit of the doubt. Remember, he had...
Because it had come out before. They just didn't... Nobody had seen the video.
Exactly. And they asked him what had happened. They took him at his word, right, and said, okay. And then when the video came out, they immediately released him. Because it was... He had lied from what had happened.
Yeah, so this is not a good situation, obviously, for the Kansas City Chiefs. If this proves to be true, I'm sure it'll be the same fate for Hill. They will cut him immediately, I would imagine.
Because this would be another situation, even though they drafted him. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is
they drafted Hunt.
Right, that's what I'm saying. But like, they gave him a chance when they drafted him.
Yeah,
knowing
that,
his
right.
history.
That was your second chance.
Right, and now if this comes out in the wash that he was involved, and it's just a sad story. I'm at loss. I just couldn't imagine doing it. I don't know. I know there's discipline. I was disciplined as a kid. Everybody was disciplined as a kid. You know what I mean? And I don't know what happened, so it's hard for me to talk about it.
But there's nothing that, if this is true, nothing that justifies breaking a 3-year-old's arm.
Not at all.
Nothing.
No.
And like you, I was disciplined. I was spanked, whipped with a belt as a kid. And I believe in spanking.
But not abuse.
No,
it's a difference.
No.
There's a big difference.
You know, nothing excessive, no broken bones, no black eye, nothing. No, I've never punched, just spanked with a belt.
Right, for not doing what's
I have two
not
daughters,
told, right.
and I spanked them when they were little. And that pretty much taught them the lesson. I never really
well, they never had an issue after that.
No,
because most kids will learn. If you do something wrong, this was going to happen.
Right.
I was sent out to the yard to go get the switch. You know, that's
That's
a Southern thing, isn't it? I think
a
parents.
Southern thing, a black thing.
Yeah, maybe a black
thing.
Southern
I didn't go get the switch.
But you know what I mean?
The belt like, was there, but.
Yeah, it was like, go get a switch, and it better not be a little one. Because then I'll go out and pick it out. But they make you go pick
so
out
you
your
would
own
pick
thing.
Out a good switch.
Yeah, you have to pick out one that's not too small. It was cruel. Like, you have to go pick out your the thing that's going to get you whacked up.
Now, I would be crying before I even got spanked.
Yeah, you was just like.
Because I knew what
was
coming.
Right.
And I had a brother, and most of my spankers were for fighting with my brother.
Right.
And
we told you
so
to stop.
One of us is getting spanked first, and whichever one's getting spanked, the other one is sitting there watching and crying.
Right, because they know
that
what's
coming. You know, but this is terrible, and you hate to even kind of talk about football in a situation like this, but this is a team that is, if this is true, is slowly imploding. Because of its own off-the-field behavior.
Right.
Like, Kareem Hunt, when he's suspended 8 games. We just found that out today.
And if you tack on the last 5 of last year, and who knows?
Plus, does that include the playoffs?
No, I think it was 5 games.
So, in the regular season
right.
that he missed.
And then he missed a couple in the playoffs.
So what, 2 in the playoffs.
So right there, that's 7 plus
15.
The 8. That's 15. That's a whole football season.
Right,
I mean, almost 15 games. And, who knows? If he was on the team, they might have beaten the Patriots. They might have been in the Super Bowl. There's all kinds of other stuff.
Might have won the Super Bowl.
But the Chiefs didn't look at that. I give them credit that they gave him a chance. They did, right?
No,
took him at his word.
Yep.
And it wasn't true.
Yeah, no, I give them credit. I didn't even think they'd do. I thought they'd suspend him immediately for the rest of the season. That's what I was calling for. But they went further and cut him. And I think only
because they put their reputation out when they gave him the second chance.
And they trusted him.
Right.
They trusted his
word.
Hey,
tell us what's going on.
We're paying you all this money. You're going to lie to our faces.
Right.
But Cleveland, when Kareem Hunt gets back, they're going to benefit from that.
And remember, though, he's going to miss all 8 games. He's not appealing. There's no appeal for
him. No, he's doing the right thing.
I agree.
He
accepted it, and he's going to do that. And I think 8 games is fair. I think they got it right. Most of the time, I have a problem with Goodell and the people who dole out suspensions because it's all over the map. You know what I mean?
Like,
and I never really feel that great about some of them. And then Goodell's been heavy-handed, didn't have to come back and take some games off. You remember in New Orleans with Bounty Gate, you know, they threw the book at who was the
coach?
No, well, he got out for a year.
Greg Williams.
But the other guy, the linebacker. Oh, I just
was that Vilma?
Vilma.
Jonathan Vilma.
Right? Was it a Vilma? And then it was originally like 12 games or something, and then they cut it down. Yeah, but I'm just saying it was like a big cut, like from 12 to 6 or 12 to 8. And it's just like you can't be that off. That's big time off.
Right.
It's not like normally they might take a game or two off, and I get it, right?
Right.
But in this case, I think the NFL got it right. But it's an ongoing story. It's an ongoing story.
And Tyreek Hill, if this is true, he's got real problems. Seriously. I don't mean legal problems. I mean, he's got some issues within himself. When you're punching a pregnant woman in the stomach, I can't even fathom doing that. And then on top of that, you, if this is true, break a 3-year-old's arm? Like, he got some issues, man. And if this is true, this is going to be, I hate to compare, but quote unquote worse than Kareem Hunt, just because it's a second time, two really grotesque incidents, you know, and he's going to suffer badly. So, like I said, the Kansas City Chiefs could be imploding from within.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Rob, we're going to talk about something next that is very near and dear and close to your heart. Major League Baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Starts up in what, 2 weeks?
Yes.
I can't wait.
Unbelievable. Like opening
All
day.
All the movement.
Dodger Stadium is 2 weeks from yesterday.
All the movement around the league, and it's going to be exciting. All right, but some new rules were announced yesterday by Major League Baseball and the Players Association, and you know, there's too many to go through here, but there's one that really stuck out to most people, including you and I.
Yes.
And that is that this is a proposal for 2020. So not this season, but next season. That every pitcher that enters the game has to pitch to at least three batters. Unless he ends an inning. Now, I don't know if you saw the
Or if he gets hurt. You know, obviously
get hurt. But I don't know if you saw the latest news today. This is going to be tried out in the minor leagues this year. And if it doesn't work, obviously you may, you know, scrap it. But it's going to be tried out in the minors this year. And then if it works, if they like it, it'll be in the major leagues in 2020. You don't like it?
No, I really don't. And I get why. I understand. It's this whole time thing, right? The games are taking too long. People want it to move along. I get all that. But then you really take away, like, specialty guys who might be good just against lefties. So I need him to come in and pitch to a left-handed batter in a tight spot, right? He's great. Lefties can't hit another lefty if that's your specialty. And so now he has to pitch to that guy. And then two more guys, regardless if they're batting lefty or righty.
Right.
And maybe gets crushed by righties. I get where they're trying it. So you've seen the games, Chris.
Yeah.
Manager comes out, lefty up, bringing a lefty. Next guy comes up, he's righty. Bringing a righty. Next guy comes up, he's a lefty. Bringing another lefty.
Right.
You know, and then you're watching an inning, and all of a sudden, five guys pitch to six batters, right? And that is what slows down. Because you got to remember, you got to go out to the mound, walk out to the mound, talk to him. He's warming up in the bullpen. He comes out. Then there's another commercial break because you got to go and come and make another change after that.
And he's got to warm up, of course.
And they all got to warm up. And they all got to come all the way from the bullpen. So I get it.
Ridiculous. I'm not a huge fan of the rule, but for different reasons. Look, I'm sorry. I couldn't care less about saving the career of the pitcher who can only pitch to left-handed batters. I'm sorry. Did you grow up only pitching to left-handed batters?
No.
What the hell? I mean, seriously.
No. And
it's ridiculous.
The perfect example is, and you're right, they would never replace Mariano Rivera because he was facing a left-handed hitter.
Right.
Because he could get everybody out.
I mean, learn how to pitch against right-handers. So that's not my issue with it. That's like a basketball player who can – all he can do is dribble. Is he going to make it in the NBA? All he can do is dribble.
How about Dennis Rodman? All you could do is play defense, grab rebound.
Rebound, play defense. But you didn't have to just play him
for
6 minutes. You could play him the whole 40 minutes.
How about if they could just sub in and out, like he comes down for defense and grabs rebound, and then he runs off like hockey when they change on the fly, and then the other guy runs out onto the court, and he plays offense.
You brought up you brought that up, because you know how at the end of games, every blue moon, you see the offense for defense switches.
Right, right.
But that would be what happens in baseball. It's like if that happened throughout the game. Like you got a guy who, when you're on offense, he's on the court, but then they get the other team gets the rebound, they come down, timeout, and you switch it. No, I'm sorry. Now, my problem with it, Rob, I just think there's a better solution. I think it's this, and it's not perfected, but I'm going to throw this at you. And I think Buster Olney threw this out there. It's not my idea, but I like it. Limit.
You don't love it, but you like it.
I might love it. I might grow to love it.
All right.
You know how you grew to love some – you actually only love one woman in your life. But
– why are you going to make me – that's a downer now.
No,
I know what you mean.
Four, limit each team.
I like them a lot, though.
Four, limit each team to four pitchers. How about that?
What if a
you
guy
only get four?
What if a guy gets knocked out In the first, just all right, he gives up 8 runs in the first inning. He's out after a third of an inning.
Well, first of all, you don't have to leave him in for 8 runs. You know, you got three more to work with.
But I only got four pitchers total. Yeah. 9 innings.
So you bring in your second one.
Okay, so
and you
now
still got
so
two the, after him.
So he gives up 8 runs in the third of an inning. I bring in the second guy. He gives up 5 runs in
you're
two.
You down 13-0. That's
after one inning. Now I got to pitch. I have to pitch the other 8 innings with the same 2 guys. What if they're bad?
You know what?
I mean, people would be like, this is ridiculous. We got to keep them in and watch a 23-4 game.
Hold on, Rob. You're older than me. And
barely.
You remember. And I wasn't trying to be funny or insult. You're 5 years older than me. We remember when it was nothing. It was commonplace to see a pitcher pitch a complete game.
They did it all the time.
Now it's like you're the best thing since sliced bread if you pitch a complete. They don't even let you pitch a complete game.
No, because
you
they got all the guys.
You might have a no-hitter.
And they'll take you out.
And they'll take you out. So I'm just saying, I don't want to be like, oh, you know, Chris, you know, we want to go back to yesteryear and all that. But I'm just saying, 4 pitchers is still a good amount.
Here's my only other problem.
And that means you have to be strategic, right? You have to, like you said, if one pitcher's getting shelled, you have to figure out, okay, do I want to go get rid of him now or let him go a little bit longer because I only have 2 pitchers left or whatever?
Yeah, but the game is, and then if you're a fan, I mean, unless you're the team,
if you're
fan
down
of the team,
20
right.
to 6,
I mean, you're
I mean,
done.
You're probably
going right.
to lose anyway. So
here's my problem, though. They did it with the intentional walk. Remember that? Oh, just go to first base instead of throwing the four
right.
balls. So they're trying to speed the game up. But the only problem is, who are you speeding the game up for? I don't believe, Chris, and this is just, as a baseball fan, a guy who goes to a lot of games every year. When I go to a game, I expect 3 hours. I just do. I'm not looking for a fast game. I'm not looking for 2 hours and 10 minutes. I'm not. I go to the game knowing I'm committing 3 hours minimum to a
but
baseball
that's
game.
That's you.
No, but
times have changed.
But I'm just hear me out. If the game goes long and I have somewhere else to go or something to do, you know what I do? I get up, I walk out, and I listen to the rest on the radio. I don't understand the whole notion. If it's only about time and you want the game to be 2 hours, you play for 2 hours, and whatever the score is after 2 hours, that's the game. I mean, because
see, I don't think that's what's
the difference. That's what you're trying to accomplish. Why don't you just do that? If it's about getting to 2 hours, then play. You start the game at 7:05, and at 9:05, no matter what the score is, no matter if the other team has the bases loaded, no matter what, the game's over, and you leave. The time thing I don't get. Because most people understand a baseball game doesn't have a clock.
Well, but times, look, Rob, with all due respect, you're a senior citizen.
No, I'm not.
You're legally a senior citizen. You get discounts at Arby's
that
and
girl,
McDonald's.
That girl,
and all that.
That girl has some nerve to give me a senior discount.
No, I mean, seriously. You get this. People get up. When you get on the bus, people get up
oh,
and let
you
sit up.
Look at that.
I've seen it. No, but, I mean, it's a different day, Rob. These young kids, and I know you're right. You go to the park, you see young kids, and but people don't have as much time as they used to just leisure. We're a different society now. And I also don't think it's only about the time.
But have you said
baseball is obviously a slow game already.
There's no doubt, but when you sit in the stands, Chris, when's the last time you sat in the stands at an NFL game with the stoppage of play and the commercials? It takes forever.
Yeah, but I know you're not going to like this, but football is just more exciting.
But there's less downtime.
It's not as slow of a game.
There's more downtime between plays. Yes.
I don't know. Because between pitches and between a play, it's pretty close.
I bet you up.
And now you got a lot of teams going no huddle. It's just a much slower game.
But when you go to a 1 o'clock game, you don't leave until 4:15.
Yeah, but nobody mind. That's why I'll be honest with you. I don't. And baseball can say this, and maybe they mean it. To me, it's not just about the time. It's about the fact that baseball is a slow game. And now
but you
I
can't
gotta
change
watch
the game. No, that's the game.
No,
that's
but
what,
I
that's
don't,
what it is.
But when we grew up loving the game, we weren't seeing guys pitch to one batter. We weren't seeing nine pitchers in a game.
But my only thing is,
you gotta admit that, Rob. That's when the game was America's pastime. Dudes could throw a complete game. Dude, you didn't have eight pitchers per game. You didn't have
but
all
Chris,
the shifts.
You
I mean, come on.
But the difference too is, and you gotta admit this, the difference is every game wasn't on television when we were growing up. And I know people find this hard to believe. Every baseball game, so if the Mets, when I was a kid growing up in New York, it would be a treat for the Mets to be on.
That's true.
So when you didn't have TV on those games, the games went by way faster.
We were a different society.
No,
we weren't
get
used
that.
To everything.
But I'm just
at
saying,
tip of our fingertips.
The game went by faster. Now that every game is on television, it is drawn out. There is a lot of commercials. There's our pregame show. There's our postgame show.
Oversaturation.
I'm just saying,
but
it's
every
just
other
and every
sport,
game is on.
Basketball, you could say the same thing about NBA, and that's
no. But you got a clock, though. But you got clocks, so people feel like they're moving. There's a clock element.
I gotta be honest. To me, it's not just the length of the game.
All right, but I'm
it's
saying
the,
that's
the
what
pace of the game. It's the nature of the game is slow, and you don't have to add things in to make it even slower. And this is not just baseball. I got a problem with some of these sports becoming over specialized in general. You know, I've talked about it with the NBA. I don't want just these specialists. Give me a dude that can play basketball. So don't just have a bunch of three-pointers.
No, I know who can play the whole game, right?
Yeah. You know, let me get some mid-range. Let me get some post play. So let's throw it out to you. I'm passionate about this, and I know Rob is too, and I believe you are too. 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369.
I want to hear from baseball fans who think that this is a good idea to limit or handcuff a manager when there's a matchup, and then the manager can't put the lefty in, and the guy comes up and hits a home run right off the right-hander, people are going to be like, wow, we had a lefty there, but we couldn't put him in.
But hold on. This would also look this. I heard managers saying, well, this takes away from the strategic elements of the game. No! It's still strategic. You just have to – it's different strategy. Now I have to figure, okay, the guy I want to bring in, can he pitch to both lefties and righties? Is it worth bringing him in because he's great against lefties, but he might get shelled by the right-handed batter who's up there? So strategy is still in it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
We always love to bring in our man. He's the MGM Resorts VP of Race and Sports. Also, the co-host of Behind the Book, none other than Jay Rude. Jay, what's happening,
what's
man?
What's happening today?
Hey, how's it going, guys? It's going pretty good here in Vegas. We got a bunch of live basketball here in Vegas. We got in the middle of conference championships. It's a good week.
Yeah, I bet. But let's move to the NFL. We'll get to college basketball in a moment. But look, Jay, in the last week, I've seen the Steelers Super Bowl odds drop from 25-1 to 30-1 after trading away Antonio Brown. The Browns odds jump from 25-1 to 14-1 after acquiring Odell Beckham Jr. Is it safe to say you guys at MGM will have the Browns as the favorites in the AFC North this season?
I don't know. I mean, we haven't reacted that severely on the Steelers. We're still at 18-1 on the Steelers. We've got the Browns at 20-1. So there's still a lot of stuff that can happen. You know what I mean? You got the draft coming up. There could be some trades that happen in the draft. And, you're not going to find an Antonio Brown out there, but you could find a guy that can be good enough and turn into the next Antonio Brown. So, there's still – I'm of the mindset the Browns are going to have to beat me before I really start to make them any kind of real playoff contender.
Smart man.
So you feel like the general public is overestimating the impact of these trades. And I'll throw in the Le'Veon Bell signing in that too. Are we all overestimating all three of these moves?
A lot of times teams do addition by subtraction. So – you know, you can't help but notice that, the last year or so, the Steeler locker room's been kind of a mess. So, I mean, if they're cleaning it up and they're you know, definitely going to stick with, you know, Big Ben. And, you know, Tomlin is going to start to resurrect the team that, you know, can make a deep run. I still think, you know, there's not too many organizations that are better than the Steeler organization, you know, from the ownership all the way down. So, you know, they've had some lumps. They've had some personality issues. But I think they recognize it and they're figuring it out.
Hey, Jay, March Madness kicks off on Tuesday. How big do you guys expect the handle to be in Vegas? Is it expecting record setting or about the usual?
No, I think it's going to be – I think, you know, the tournament looks to be wide open, right? I mean, if Duke, you know, doesn't kind of do what everyone thinks they're going to do, it's – you know, good luck picking the 10 teams. You might, you know, pick the team that is going to face them. So it's pretty wide open. But
right.
I think with the passing of sports betting all over, you know, in different jurisdictions, it's going to drive some people to come to – you know, like I always say, the mecca of sports betting is still Las Vegas. And I think we're going to see a lot of people show up. You know, we have people that this is their annual passage, right? So the mecca for them. They come here for 20 straight years. We got four or five guys that come to the Mirage and they bring a box of hats. They already figured out who they're going to, you know, bet in the first round. The brackets come out and they go buy hats for every team that they're going to bet and root on while they watch the game.
Wow. All right, so to follow up on that, I want to ask you about Duke has been the favorite to win the tournament basically all season. They had a rough patch without Zion Williamson, but he's back, and you saw how well he played and healthy now. Did their odds change much when Zion was hurt, or did you guys kind of always expect that he'd be back for the tournament?
Yeah, I mean, they were sitting at 8-5. We raised them up to 9-5. You know, and when you're talking about a team that was, you know, in the neighborhood of, you know, top price for the year was, I think, 6-1 with us. And then they dropped to below 3-1 pretty much, I want to say, right after Halloween or you know, beginning of November. So, you know, that's a pretty decent adjustment, especially when, you know, you're getting into the nitty-gritty of the season. But, yeah, we're still at 9-5, but I think I've been saying it all year. That's created a tremendous value on other teams that are super high quality teams. I mean, Gonzaga at 4-1, even though they lost, you know, to St. Mary's. You know, North Carolina 8-1. You've got Virginia is the next closest to them at 5-2. Which, I mean, Virginia, if they put on any kind of performance like they have been lately. You know, you got to believe they're going to be there at the end too. So, you know, we didn't overreact and make Duke like back 5-1 like they were preseason. So, you know, we're not going to get burned on that. We realize that you know, this is his one year to shine, and he's got to still kind of go out there and perform and show that he's a clutch guy in games that really count.
Jay, I know the Rockets lost earlier to Golden State, but they finished the regular season 3-1 against them. Is that something you'll take into account when you set the lines if those two teams meet again in the playoffs?
You know, I mean, a little bit. You know, I'm not a huge guy that takes historical figures into consideration. Like when someone goes, "Oh, hey, a team is, you know, 12-4 against this team over the last 4 years," but maybe that involves, you know, significantly different personnel, significantly different coaches. But I do take into consideration if a team, you know, if you've played four times, that's a pretty good sample. And, you know, one team's won three of those four, and if they've been significant victories, you've got to take that in consideration because, you know, matchups are matchups, and they're going to continue to be that. You know, that's why I was talking to a guy earlier about Moneyball, right? I mean, Moneyball looks really good in 162 games, but Moneyball, you know, the best 3 out of 5 doesn't work so good, or 4 out of 7. So, you know, because so many wild things can happen, and that's the case in every sport.
Jay, great stuff as always,
hey,
man.
Hey, Jay, I should have been in Vegas to bet because I said that the Lakers wouldn't make the playoffs. I would have won a lot of money, right?
You would have won a lot of money because the public was jumping on that like crazy.
You know, missed
as soon as LeBron signed, everybody, you know, was getting out there, you know, the old yellow and purple and going crazy. So, yeah, anytime you can go contrarian, it's always a smart move usually.
No, no doubt.
Let me ask you quickly. We got about 30 seconds. What about the Errol Spence-Mikey Garcia fight? What's that looking like?
You know, Errol is a big favorite. Right now, We need him. We've got a lot of guys looking to bet that have been betting Mikey Garcia, but I've got a pretty significant six-figure wager coming in on Arrow, I think, coming in tomorrow morning. We're probably going to be pretty balanced on that, but I think, you know, it's going to be a hell of a fight. You know, the O's got to go on one of them. So,
right.
I give Mikey, a really good chance. I think, we're priced a little bit high, but I think, the popularity of the larger bets are going to come in on Arrow for sure, and that's kind of why we had that baked into the $4 price.
All right, Jay, we appreciate it as always, man. Great stuff.
Yep, anytime, guys. We'll talk to you next week.